Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com.
Tennessee sounds perfect.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's give it up for the one and only super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
Woo.
And I love the energy, guys. Let's also give it up for our research associate on this show, this episode, Mr. Max Williams.
Whoa.
Okay. All right. Okay. You know what? You keep this up, Max. I'm going to start going in and doing some post-production because I got some opinions on these woos.
No. Don't do that. Don't do that to our listeners, Ben. Our listenership will just fall off a cliff if you get in there.
Well, they call me Ben, and we are so glad you're here, Ridiculous Historians, especially because you, like us, are getting the chance to hang out with an actual legend in the podcasting space, one of my dear friends, co-founder of this show. We hang out all the time, and we still, for some reason, are our best friends.
Yeah. Well,
folks, Mr. Noel Brown.
Oh, it would have been awkward if you were talking about someone else, and I was all like, yeah! Yeah, well, that's true. I love that. There's such a good trope in movies where there's like a big speech where it's some, you know, family, you know, patriarch announcing who his successor will be or a king. Mm. And then you see the one who thinks it's going to be him all chuffed in the audience. And then it's this other guy.
Dude,
and it's,
I feel that way every time. Okay, so you guys know I'm a sucker for advertising. I am so interested in 99.9% of all types of food ever. I feel that way every time I have ordered fajitas in a restaurant, you know, where they sizzle, and I see somebody coming out with a plate of sizzling fajitas and they walk on by, like my heart breaks. That has nothing to do with today's episode. That's just a universal human moment, folks. May your fajitas come for you. Well,
Ben, have you seen that meme where it's the Alex Jones courtroom scene where he and his lawyer are like looking behind them? And it's like everybody at the Mexican restaurant when someone orders sizzling fajitas.
We're there with you. We have like, so one thing that we really wanted to make like a day one rule when we started Ridiculous History a number of years ago is we wanted to find these sort of universal truths. We wanted to correct the misconception that history is just a bunch of words and dusty textbooks. The people in these stories are very much like you. They're very much like us, regardless of how they may be portrayed, regardless of what they're known for. And one of the reasons we did a classic episode earlier this week, Noel, you and I, a long time ago, we did an episode just on presidential pets because like many of our favorite episodes, we had this conversation off air about pets and we were like, well, a lot of people have pets. And then before you know it, we're sitting there frantically searching on our phones about statistics of cat dog ownership in the US and abroad. And then we stumbled on this idea of presidents also being human and having pets. And when Max joined forces with us and classed up the show a little, we found, Noel, that our good pal, Mr. Williams, is also a cat lover. Now, do you think we should talk about cats for a second?
Well, I think we must. Ben, I actually was introduced to a new-to-me term that you guys may be familiar with, but the idea of being a cat daddy.
Cat daddy.
Yeah, cat daddy. I think it's like, I think there's some sexual vibes to it where you're sort of like a burly dude who has lots of cats. A bit of a bear, you know, like a it's like a leather daddy, but it's a cat daddy. So I think it implies sensitivity, but also, you know, brute strength and potentially down to clowniness in the bedroom. I don't know. It's okay. it's just a guess. Maybe I wasn't actually introduced to the true meaning, but whenever I hear daddy thrown around, I can't not think that. But yeah, I've become a bit of a cat daddy of late. Yeah. I have two. Vanessa and Karomi. And I know you have one that shall not be named. Isn't that right? And then also Dr. Venkman?
Yes, that's correct, Noel. I have two cats. One is named Dr. Venkman, which is an amazing name. I can say that because it wasn't my idea. The second is a cat with many, many names. You may see him occasionally. You may hear him occasionally on the air. And Max Jamin, you have, since you said we can say Max stands for whatever, Max, you have a cat as well who we talked about in the past on our episodes.
Oh, yeah. My Sylvia, who I have a ceramic Sylvia right here for us to see. It's terrifying. But yeah, I have my Sylvia, who is a loud cat. She's a rescue herself, so I can only have one cat because she would try to kill any other cats around. But yeah, I agree with Noel's assessment of what a cat daddy is, and I can say that I fully am one.
Okay.
And I'm proud of that.
All right, cat daddies. We're also going to introduce you to another cat daddy, one of historical note. Mm-hmm. Folks, you may remember one Abraham Lincoln as a famous trash-talking wrestler. Fun note, he was also president of the U.S. once upon a time. But for our purposes today, the main thing we want to talk about is that Lincoln was a cat daddy, as you would say, Noel.
Yeah, possibly like one of the OG cat. I don't know. Cats are ancient pets, yes. Domesticated cats, you know, all the way back to, you know, the Egyptians and stuff. That there's so much cat imagery in a lot of their, you know, hieroglyphs and things like that. There was cat worship, even a lot of deities that resembled cats and the like. But yeah, Abe Lincoln, definite cat daddy. He was the 16th president, of course, of these United States. And he was just bananas for kitties. He would just play with them, presumably spoke to them directly for yes. Like extended periods of time.
Matters of policy, right.
That's right. We know, you'll recall also, I believe, from our previous presidential pets episode that was more focused on the dog side. Or maybe it was its episode unto itself. I can't remember. We definitely talked about Fido, which is like sort of become this like cliche kind of stand-in for dog, kind of like Xerox is to, you know, mimeographs or whatever, or copy machines. Fido, mainly from cartoons. I've never ever in a million years known a person with a dog named Fido because it's so cliche that no one would ever do it. But it's like you'd see it in Bugs Bunny cartoons, like, hey, Fido, come here, boy, Fido, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was because of President Lincoln's dog, Fido, who they had to leave back home in Springfield, Illinois, where they're from, because the dog was a little skittish, did not take too well to excitement and chaos that comes along with, you know, being elected president. So they adopted the dog out to some neighbor friends. But kitties, as we know, are a little more resilient, I would argue, for better or for worse. I mean, I would also argue that kitties, you know, don't give a F, you know, when it comes to like people, and dogs are much more doting. But Lincoln believed that the kitties were, he liked something about that vibe, the way that they kind of just, you know, were a little indifferent, but also, you know, snuggly, and especially kittens. He loved kittens. He was always rescuing them and snuggling them and whatnot.
Yeah, he's a kitten guy. And he, you know, one time someone asked Lincoln's spouse, Mary Todd Lincoln, they said, does your husband have a hobby? Does the old man have a hobby? And she just said, yes, cats. He was elected president, had to bid fond farewell, auf Wiedersehen to Fido. And Secretary of State at the time, William Seward, said, we can't let it end this way. So he gave the president two kittens as a gift, sort of a congratulations, sort of a surprise. And the president, old Abe, was all about these cats. He named them Tabby and Dixie. And he did things that are familiar to a lot of people who get very far in the extreme cat-loving spectrum. He once had a formal dinner at the White House and had Tabby over and fed her at the table. No report on what the other attendees, the human attendees of the dinner, thought. But Mary Todd was kind of embarrassed. She said, yeah, this action is shameful in front of our guests. And then this is when Abe's trash-talking wrestling comes back. He's got a clap back, dude.
Yeah, he said something to the effect of, if this golden spoon is worthy of the former President James Buchanan, well, I think it is good enough for the Tabby. For Tabby, I guess that's meant to be a dig at James Buchanan. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's little column A, little column B. It's partially a dig at Buchanan. It's partially saying, my cat's awesome, though.
It's a big up to Tabby, a bit of a ding to Buchanan. You know what I like about Lincoln, though? He really is, you know, one of the first kind of like, kind of fish out of water presidents, you know? He was sort of this hayseed that kind of like took his country ways to the White House. And it's like, you know, I just picture him like wearing shoes with like a toe poking out of the shoe because it's worn, because he refuses to get a new pair of shoes until they're purely worn out. And, you know, Mary Todd was just a little bit more trying to adapt to this. I don't know. This is just my imagination running wild here. But the wrestling and just the kind of outdoorsmanly beardiness of Lincoln just really does make me see him as this kind of like fun fish out of water, you know, Washington. Mr. Lincoln goes to Washington kind of story. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And he had a quite strange, dare I say, unprecedented rise to the position of commander in chief. It's a story for another day. We're ridiculous cats in this episode. We're ridiculous cats talking about cats. Someone work on that. We'll fix it in post. Lincoln has this friend named Caleb Carman. And Caleb is the guy who tells us about how Abe would talk to his cats. He would just choose one at random, either Tabby or Dixie. He would pick it up and he would just talk to it for 30 minutes. You know, all the, like, imagine Abraham Lincoln doing baby talk to cats. That's what it was. And also, I want to point out about domestication. Cats are really interesting. Cats domesticated themselves. They're not truly domesticated creatures. They just hung out in what you could argue is mutualism in terms of organisms interacting. But cats, unlike dogs, were not really domesticated by people. That's why if you have cats, if you live with cats, I wouldn't say own them, if you live with them, that's why they have a lot of natural wild animal tendencies. It wasn't bred out of them. That's why if they think you can't hunt, or they think you're getting a little skinny, or they want to impress you, they go and, you know, they catch a mouse and they bring it to you and eviscerate it and make this weird sort of Grand Guignol tapestry for
it's
you.
My favorite.
I think we've all experienced that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's true. Like I talked about a previous cat that I had that would just leave these like weird assembly bits of severed parts from various animals, like in these, you know, True Detective-esque arrays, like on the porch, like with a little garland of grass, you know, around the head of a mouse and
a
like
garnish,
the body.
Yeah,
it's truly macabre. And then there was one time I watched, this is an ongoing thing. And like, you know, people always say, oh, they're trying to give you a present. I'm like, I think it's a threat. I think it's a threat. It's like, this could be you, you know?
It's kind of like also it's a sort of their way of saying you suck at hunting here. Learn.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. But Lincoln had all these cat owner moments. You're listening. If you're listening the year this comes out, folks, you're listening in 2022 And if you have a cat, you probably have some questions or observations about your own little fur ball of fury. Lincoln has all your same questions, all your same fascinations. One time, he gets pissed at his cabinet in his first term as president. And he says, this is a quote, he says, "Dixie is smarter than my whole cabinet. And furthermore, she doesn't talk back." He was not cool with it.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I got to say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
He also, by the way, didn't just stick with Dixie and Tabby. He would find stray cats, and sometimes he would bring them home, or they would follow him home. And this happens often. It doesn't just happen in D.C. One time, he was meeting with General Ulysses S. Grant. Yes, that General Grant, who became president himself, he's meeting with him, City Point, Virginia. There's a siege happening. It's the Siege of Petersburg, March 1865. And Lincoln is having problems paying attention to the general during the siege, because partway through, he's going, "Well, hold on. You hear that? Sounds like kittens."
Yes, it does.
You hear that?
"Move aside, General. I have kittens. There's kittens in need. There's an animal in trouble." If anybody who has kids remembers the Wonder Pets. That's what Abe Lincoln was like. His ears would perk up, and he'd go, the phone is ringing. And then he'd run and rescue the kittens. And there are accounts of the way he would just dote on these rescue kittens. A guy named Admiral David Porter, in what I would argue is a bit of a subtweet, says he was struck by the sight of the president, quote, tenderly caressing 3 stray kittens, and that it well illustrated the kindness of the man's disposition.
and showed the childlike simplicity with which was mingled with the grandeur of his nature. A little bit of a little bit of a backhanded compliment, the childlike simplicity.
Yeah, I could say it's a little bit of a, it's editorial license at the very least, right? And he also, the same guy, Admiral Porter, also says Lincoln would talk to the cats and he'd be like, shh, 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 kitties, thank God you are cats and can't understand this terrible strife that is going on.
Who's a widow pretty widow football? Pay no attention. Pay no attention to this civil war we find ourselves in the midst of.
Max is above our attempts to do Lincoln baby talk. Yeah. I see you, man.
Yeah. No, that was the hardest eye roll
I've ever seen in a Zoom window in my life. Yeah, we definitely did. But yeah, I mean, he also, like, you know, again, this is like a wartime president. He's going to back to his presidential tent or whatever. And he says to a colonel, he leans in and says, I hope you will see that these poor little motherless waifs are given plenty of milk and treated kindly. And no, he's not referring to actual like orphans. He's referring to kitties.
Max, can we sound cue in awe there? Like the most obnoxious cutesy. There it is. Perfect.
It does seem like he was a good guy. I will say. I mean, you know, presidents are complicated. History is complicated. We know that Lincoln wasn't like perfect. He really is held up there as this like, you know, paragon of like, you know, presidential empathy. And like, he, you know, he freed the slaves. He was the greatest man to ever live. But we know that there was some, you know, complexities to that. But I will say that for his time, this kitty love really makes me feel like he had a pretty good heart, I would say.
Well, yeah, let me bring into the conversation a quotation that Max found, that going to your note about subtweets, Noel, and also going to the note about complexity. There's a Treasury official, Mansell B. Fields, which is a weird name, who writes about Lincoln in the following way. He says, President Abraham Lincoln, quote, possessed extraordinary kindness of heart when his feelings could be reached. What? And says he was fond of dumb animals, especially cats. I've seen him fondle one for an hour. Fondle meant something very different back then. Helplessness and suffering touched him when they appealed directly to his senses, or when you could penetrate through his intelligence to them. So it sounds like he's saying, there's some kind of wall around Lincoln's mind, right? Like only, like he may be hard-hearted or cold to a lot of human beings, but if you're infantile enough or feline enough, arguably, then all of a sudden he's your biggest fan. Does that feel like a subtweet to you? It's just, it gets me where he says, possess extraordinary kindness of heart when his feelings could be reached.
Right. It implied that he was a bit of a tough nut to crack. And then maybe it's like, you know, all this kitten love and stuff is like, that is a way that maybe a person that is typically not able to be emotionally vulnerable, you know, to humans is able to exhibit that level of vulnerability, but only to creatures. You know, it strikes me as that Lincoln would have been a very, perhaps a difficult man and an emotionally, you know, guarded man. But with the kitties, he could just let it all hang out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And again, to the point about Fido that we raised earlier, Lincoln was a yes, all pets kind of dude. He, you know, there's a great ongoing debate nowadays about whether someone is a dog or a cat person. Lincoln rejects these labels. He had tons of pets during his life. He even had a pig. That's a true story. But that is a sad story. And on the advice of our pal Max, we are leaving it out of the narrative, unless you have a declaration to make about this, Max, for our ridiculous historians.
Oh, I have a declaration to make. I actually wrote in the brief, this is too heartbreaking a story. We're not going to talk about it. That's it.
Yeah. Okay, well, we set you up to confirm that. All right. So if you are feeling in too good of a mood, if you're having too good of a day and you need to take it down a notch, look up Lincoln's pet pig. So we talked about other pets Lincoln had in a previous episode. We mentioned his doggo Fido. We should also note that Lincoln had multiple ponies. They technically belonged to his sons, but come on, he was there and he was, you know, chuffing with them and petting their manes and saying like, ah, I wish you were the Secretary of Defense or whatever. And then he had a white rabbit. He had two goats. We know the names of the goats, Nanko and Nanny. He had another dog named Jip, and he was associated with a pet turkey once upon a time.
Jack was the name of the turkey. So there was Jip the dog and Jack the turkey. Sounds like a classic setup for an animated pair of adventurers. I'm thinking of Jake the dog and Finn the human. The fun will never end. It's Adventure Time. Lovely show. We could now probably move on to a president that I don't typically think of, Franklin Pierce. That's probably true for most folks. He wasn't really considered one of the best presidents. He didn't do anything outwardly horrific. He was just a little bit of a turd. You know, he was like a bad outfielder, you know?
He's
just
not kinda, out there, yeah.
Just kind of stood around. He did, though, open trade relations with Japan, which was kind of a big deal, right? I don't know why I negged the guy so hard. That's a big deal. But he really isn't a president that, you know, comes to mind as like being like one of the greats.
He thought abolition was a fundamental threat to the United States. So
yikes.
He was very pro-slavery. Just going to pop that in there whenever you think of Franklin Pierce. That's where he's calling from, as Raymond Carver would say. But he did have pets, didn't he? That's why we're talking about him.
Yeah, and you know, it seems like some of this maybe stemmed from that that relationship with Japan. He had dogs that were some of the earliest examples of the breed known as the Japanese Chin, which were huge in Japan. But they, that's right. Well, they're small everywhere, but they're very popular in Japan. And this is like sort of an example of them coming over here for the first time. They're what you would call toy dogs, you know, toy sized dogs, like miniature, which I believe isn't that a process that requires some pretty gnarly inbreeding and weird breeding practices?
Breeding.
Yeah.
It's kind of eugenics. I mean,
that's what I thought.
Dog breeding in general gets pretty crazy. And maybe we can do a history of dog breeding in the future, but Yukonuba definitely will not sponsor that because it gets dark really quickly. You're right, Noel. You're absolutely right. He did, as you said, open trade relations with Japan, and that was quite a coup. Because Japan had for many, many years, centuries, they had closed their borders to almost every foreign trading party. So he sends this guy named Matthew Perry, U.S. representative, also Commodore Matthew Perry, goes back to the States after cracking this deal with Japan, and he says, hey, President Pierce, I got you something. Here are these seven very tiny dogs. And they're not just tiny, they're teacup size. So any dog aficionado knows that is the tiniest, absolute tiniest dog. And they were called, I believe they were called sleeve dogs, because if you had the right kind of outfit, like say a kimono, you could fit them up in your sleeve. I guess they're, you know what they are? They're like a, in my head, dude, they're like a predecessor of the emotional support animal that is so popular now.
That's right. Yeah. You know, it's funny, just to backtrack really quickly, just to get a little trivia moment. Not really trivia, I guess, but you're familiar with the Coen Brothers anthology Western, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. And there is one of the chapters that's one of the longer ones, and it's really, really good, incredible twist, very sad, but excellent. It's called The Gal Who Got Rattled. And in it, there is a dog named President Pierce. It takes place presumably during this time. So they knew about Pierce. And seemed fits, but I believe it was even like it was her brother's dog, and he's kind of an idiot, politically. And I think there was this sense that Pierce wasn't a particularly good president, but his brother like supported him and therefore named the dog after him.
I might be
misreading that, but it did just occur to me.
Yeah. And so these dogs are not universally loved. You could say we'd like to introduce a character named Verena Davis. She was the spouse of a guy who was serving as the Secretary of War at the time, one of Max's favorite political figures in U.S. history, a guy named Jefferson Davis. Now, Max, you have a sound cue for us.
Hey, Davis, you suck.
Yes.
Also, I just want to state very clearly that Ben was being sarcastic when he said one of my favorite political figures. I really do not want anyone out there thinking I like Jefferson Davis, of all people.
Okay, so you've heard it conclusively. If you are a fan of Jefferson Davis, then please follow Max on Twitter so you guys can talk about it. Are you trying to cancel me? No. Max, being a tremendously good person, also knows that Jefferson Davis is a piece of wet garbage. Mm-hmm. So, anyhow, Verena
JD
Davis,
to his friends.
JD to his friends.
But he had also, no friends, so nobody.
Yeah, they're all terrible people. Yeah, you nailed. You brought it home. Yeah. So now that we are done dancing on the grave of that terrible person, let's point out that his wife had some opinions regarding Pierce's dogs. She described the dogs, these seven dogs, who are again tiny, as having, quote, a head like a bird with a blunt beak, eyes large and popped, and a body like a newborn puppy of the smallest kind. And then she said, they can scamper around on a coffee saucer. They're so tiny. And we don't know if she loved them or if she hated them, but that gives you a sense of how small these sleeve dogs were. Pierce loved them, by the way. He was over the moon. Nobody could say a bet. Like, if you've ever hung out with your friends who are clearly treating a small dog as their child, and, you know, they're saying stuff like, oh, well, you know, we shouldn't eat waffles in front of Rupert because it offends his sensibilities. He's a sensitive boy. This is how Pierce is with his dogs. And he kept showing, like, he one day showed up to talk with Jefferson Davis.
More like Jefferson Doofus.
He shows up at the Davis place and he says, General, I have a dog for you. And then Pierce gives one of these seven tiny dogs to Secretary Jefferson Davis.
Eat a turd, Jeffy D.
You suck. You suck. You suck, Davis. Go home.
What does Jeffy D like to eat? Turds.
And so Davis names this dog. He accepts the dog, accepts delivery of the dog. He names it Bonin, B-O-N-I-N. And
the dog be bonin.
The dogs be bonin. And he carries little Bonin around in his pocket. So we can only imagine, this is just us guessing, fellow ridiculous historians, we can only imagine that at multiple times during his life, someone asked Jefferson Davis, is that a bone in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see me? I yield my time.
Why does it have to be one or the other? Why are those things mutually exclusive?
Right. Good question. Lost to history, maybe. And so he gives he only keeps one of these seven dogs. He gives the others to his friends, like we mentioned, Mr. Boo Hiss Davis. And we don't know much about how these dogs' lives went. We know that they were, for a time, they were kind of like an important political currency, right? You were able to convey favor if you were Franklin Pierce by saying, hey, here's one of my exclusive run dogs. And this did always remind people of trade relations with Japan. As weird as it sounds, those very little dogs made some very big history.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million. Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's move on to America's first and so far only bachelor president, let's say. As you noted, Max, just because he didn't take a spouse, he did have a partner, but not an official partner. Just because he didn't take a spouse didn't mean he didn't enjoy some companionship. Walk through those multiple negatives on your own, folks. He had a pair of dogs. He also had eagles. He had a legit pair of bald eagles.
This is so America, man. I love it.
I know. And they would, he was not one of those people who were clipping the wings and keeping them in cages. He had tamed these eagles. They were not domesticated, of course. They're not domesticated animals, but he had tamed them to the point where they would fly away from their cages and then they would come back. They just liked hanging out. They associated Buchanan with a good life, which a lot of people in the U.S. rightly did not at the time. But now for a little bit of a quick run trivia game or a laundry list, Noel, I propose that we just round robin the many, many pets of former President Rutherford B. Hayes.
Great name, by the way. I've always liked Rutherford. It's just such a old-timey name, you know?
It's a mint julep name. You can't say really it without, is. Like, Rutherford. Rutherford.
Yeah. It's just got a good mouthfeel. It just kind of rolls around in there.
Mouthfeel, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it really does. First off, we have Hector, the Newfoundland dog. What is it? He's a breed of Newfoundland, of Newfoundlandic origin.
Mm-hmm. Duke. Possibly an English Mastiff, but don't quote us.
Yeah, some of these, there's some speculation as to the breed. We've got Grim. I think it's a cool name for a greyhound, especially. They are very dire-looking creatures.
Otis, miniature schnauzer. Full schnauzer, just too much, too German.
No, yeah. And then we've got Dot, a cocker spaniel.
Juno and Shep, two hunting dogs.
Shep is a great name for a dog, by the way. We've got Jet.
Shep was almost my name. Thank God my dad got in a car accident on the way to the... Yeah, true story. Anyway, Jet.
Wow. My name was almost Lyle.
That's a good name. I know Lyle. He's solid.
We love a Lyle. He's a dear friend of us both, but it would have been awkward if he had the same name. But I think they actually even like crossed it off my birth certificate or something. But that could just be lore, Noel Brown lore. Next,
you guys can call me Shepherd if you want. Jet. Yes, woo-hoo, Jet is a mutt. And I would like to propose that I remain the primary shep of this show. Shepherd, if I'm in trouble.
Of course.
Siam, who, funnily enough, this is a cat fact, hashtag cat fact. Siam is the first Siamese kitten to reach North America.
Wow. And a burst of creativity, as you would say. Really, really leaned into that one. This one, I'm sorry, you got to say this one with a mint julep voice too, is Miss Pussy, who is another Siamese cat.
And then there's Piccolo Mini. Piccolo Mini. You've got to raise your fist in like a little cadence, you know, with your touching your middle finger to your thumb. Piccolo Mini is a cat.
Sounds like an Italian restaurant. I love it. And then we just have a goat.
One goat.
A goat of mystery. Yeah. But who knows? I want to know more about this mysterious goat.
Mr. President, what's your goat's name? Leave. You have to leave now. The goat probably had a big voice in policy. Then he had a mockingbird, but that wasn't the only bird he had.
He had four canaries as well. Yeah.
He got some cows. That's how you know you were making it back then. He had Jersey cows.
He also, they were pedigreed, by the way, not just any run of the mill Jersey cows.
Oh yeah,
these were purebred Jersey cows. And then he also had several carriage horses.
And this is even more impressive when, as you pointed out, Max, we realized this guy served only one term as president, so he was spending a lot of time at the petting zoo, basically. And so now let's give an honorable mention to former President Millard Fillmore. We don't know a ton about his pets other than a couple of ponies he had. Mason and Dixon, get it? But he definitely cared about animals. This was something new to me until, I didn't know this until we went into the research, but he helped found a chapter of the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, or ASPCA, in his hometown in Buffalo, New York, all the way back in March of 1867. And this wasn't just a PR thing for him. Like, he honestly cared about it. He led local meetings. He did this after he was president, obviously. He used his juice, his political capital, to like influence the laws, to change laws so that animals in Buffalo would be treated better, which is
that's cool,
pretty neat, right?
Yeah, man. And one thing that's a commonality in these cases is usually you see that the presidents that had the most pets and that treated them well were probably relatively not beastly human beings. And it's always a little sketchy when you have a president that doesn't take a pet, because it's such a tradition to have a presidential pet that the ones that don't must really hate animals. That's my theory. I don't know what you think about that, Ben. But
okay, we have to talk about it then. We have to talk about it because we looked into this, folks. There is one president that may have not had a pet. And now history is a little unclear on this. And we have, you know, we have a silver lining at the end of the show here. But of the few presidents who were thought to have not had any pets at all, one of the ones who stands out to us is former U.S. President James K. Polk. You won't find any canonical historical mention of him being a pet guy. A cat daddy, he is not. But we know he's good with horses, So you'd have to assume he had some sort of relationship with various steeds. And then, of course, there's Andrew Johnson. Now, Andrew Johnson is a little bit of a, in my head, he's a little bit of a Ratatouille president. What do I mean by that? Well, he never formally had pets, but the guy loved mice and he didn't want to kill them. And he would leave, you know, little like pieces of cheese out there. I like the idea of him doing the Ratatouille thing all the way. You know what I mean? Like, I like the idea of a mouse under a hat.
Yeah, it was while the president. The mouse was the president the whole time.
Yes.
He was the brains behind the operation. No, I love that, Ben. That is.
I don't know. How much brains was going into the Johnson administration, though?
Unclear. Not much. Yeah, hot take. Hot historical presidential take.
When it comes to Johnson, I don't think it's really even that hot of a take, honestly.
No,
I just don't know. I just don't really know much about him. He was kind of a monster, right? He was a known bad dude.
He kind of killed Reconstruction.
Yeah, he was not what we would call a banger of a president today. First president to be impeached. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the past, but even if you go to his hometown and you ask people about him, they'll say, yeah, not that great. He's not anybody's favorite, except maybe some mice, maybe.
You know, it's really weird. I just looked up some fun facts about President Andrew Johnson. Apparently, he escaped from indentured servitude. One would think someone who had escaped from indentured servitude would have a unique position to be anti-slavery.
One would.
He was unique in many ways. So, like, he was the only Southern senator whose state seceded from the Union, who showed back up at his job. Like, all of them just left and seceded. He was from Tennessee. He just showed back up. And that's kind of, he wasn't Abraham Lincoln's first VP. It was when Lincoln won re-election.
Right.
They're like, hey, this is our, it was becoming pretty clear how the war was going to go. Mm-hmm. This is our olive branch. We have this guy who is flip parties. He's a Republican now, but he's a Southerner. And then Lincoln got assassinated, which was actually a three-prong assassination attempt. It was Lincoln, Johnson, and Seward they went after. And Seward survived. Lincoln obviously did not. And Johnson became president. And
Six Emperor Tyrannus and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So funny story. Again, I think I mentioned this on the air, but there's a little town called Greenville, Tennessee that is very Andrew Johnson branded. I have a treehouse there that I sleep in sometimes. It's a true story. I'm not going to explain it. And even if you go there and you ask people about Johnson, they will all say, I mean, he was a president. And as we close today's episode, we do have to have one last dubious mention that was very important to our guest research associate, Mr. Max Williams. That is the most recent president, the 45th president. How many pets did he have, Max? We talked about this in part one.
He had Eric. He had... Just kidding. I'm not going to say it. That's going to piss some people off.
Oh,
so
keep
bad.
It in.
No, he did not have any pets. He was very adamant about not having a pet. And what's funny is when writing this up, I made sure to listen through the original episode. And Mr. Noel, you noted that. You're like, yeah, it's really weird this guy doesn't have a pet. Maybe he'll get one eventually. Cause like when I was doing the research, I was like, yeah, like, you know, like I bet like some other people didn't have pets. Nah, it really looks like every single one of them in some sort of way had some sort of pet.
Again, if only because of the tradition of it all.
You know
what I mean?
It looks good. Yeah.
Right. It's like there's some really cute ones that I left out. Like, you know, H.W. Bush had his, like, I believe Cocker Spaniel. And then when W. became president, he had one of the puppies that his dad's Cocker Spaniel had while he was in the White House. It's just cute. And it's a way to relate to them to show that, like, hey, they're humans, even if it is a publicity stunt sometimes.
Absolutely. At this point, I want to thank you again, Ridiculous Historians, for going on this journey with us. Lincoln, Avowed Cat Daddy, this has been Presidential Pets Part 2. Most importantly, folks, this is the time when I reveal my ulterior motive. Get thee to Ridiculous Historians on Facebook and show us pictures of your pets. I love when we get to do this. Show us.
Oh, yeah. There's some good ones out there for sure. And also, shout out to the Presidential Pet Museum, which is a thing. Presumably, most of these animals are there in taxidermied form, I would hope, preserved for future generations to enjoy. What's y'all's position on taxidermy, by the way? Taxidermying of beloved pets. Is it macabre or totally on?
It's hard to say goodbye to yesterday, man. Boys and men were right.
Especially if yesterday was the name of your beloved Cocker Spaniel. That'd be a good name for a dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on whether canines fall under the theory of nominative determinism. You know, if you name a dog Chomp, is it going to bite someone?
Well, and it begs the question, do, in fact, all dogs go to heaven? And do all dogs go direct to video in All Dogs Go to Heaven Part 2?
And with this, with these weighty philosophical conversations, we are going to wait to hear from you, Ridiculous Historians. We'll be back next week with an episode on Pringles it's going to surprise you. It's going really weird places. We're excited for you to hear it. Thanks, as always, to you for tuning in. Thanks to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams. Our composer, we have one, Mr. Alex Williams. And thanks to, let's see, who else, Noel? Who else?
Oh, you know, Christopher Hasiotis, Eve's Jeffcoat here in spirit, elsewhere in the world, doing great things. Our love to you both. Jonathan Strickland, did you mention him?
I try not to.
Yeah, it's okay, because sometimes if you say his name too loudly, into a glass darkly, things happen. He's sort of a Candyman rules, you know what I mean? I think we've passed the threshold for his appearance.
And one last special thanks to all of our fellow Ridiculous Historians who are out there volunteering with animal shelters, with animal rescue. This is often a volunteer-driven enterprise. It's nonprofit, and it can be really, really tough work. But from all of us to all of you, thanks for being the good folks.
We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.